I'm always moved whenever I sing that song to just remember, because sometimes we're going through battles or we're facing things, and sometimes, just to be honest with you, it feels like there's no hope or there's no victory. There's, you know, how in the world are we going to make it through this? And the truth is that we have a Savior who's already won all of those battles, and that's good for me to remember. We've been talking for the past several weeks. We've been in a series called From This Day Forward, and actually we've been talking about six commitments that you can make in your marriage that will help to ensure that you have a healthy marriage. It will help to ensure you have a fail-proof marriage. And so we've been talking about these six commitments, and there are truths, I think, that we've been pulling out of all of these that for all of us that I think are good. But I want to acknowledge right now, before we even get started this morning, I want to acknowledge that there are probably some folks in here, and you as a couple, as a married couple, you're facing a battle, and you don't know if there's any way through it or if there's any way around it, and you're wondering if there's any hope. And so I hope, if that's where you are, my prayer for you is that you would recognize the words that we just sang in the psalm. Because fortunately, right, the battle does not belong to you. It's not up to you. You're not responsible for winning the battle. The Lord God Almighty is. And He fights for you. Even when things feel dark, even when things feel hopeless. That's the truth. That's the truth of the love of God. So we've been talking together, six commitments you can make in your marriage to ensure that it's a healthy marriage, a fail-proof marriage. Here they are: seek God, fight fair, serve selflessly, have fun, stay pure, never give up. This week, we're going to talk about the fourth commitment, which is have fun. And as soon as I say that, there's somebody out there like me who's like, oh, good. You know, because these other ones have been really convicting for me, and so I need a break, right? I've got the have fun thing on lockdown. That's not a problem, okay? And so let me just say that as I began to prepare for this message, I thought I was going to get a break too, and I did not, okay? The Lord was convicting me of all the ways I need to grow in this area as well, and so I just want to let you know that right up front. Also want to let you know we're going to be in the Song of Solomon some today, so warning, okay? If you have children, be ready to cover their ears at some point during the service, because we're going to talk, we're going to do some real talk today, and I want to make sure that you know that. Look with me, if you would, though, at Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 9. Here's what it says, Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 9. It says, live happily with the woman you love through all the meaningless days of life that God has given you under the sun. The wife God gives you is your reward for all your earthly toil. In the NIV, if you have the NIV, it actually says this. It says, enjoy life with your wife, whom you love. That's what it says. And so I just want you to know that there's a biblical mandate for us, right, to enjoy the life that we have together in our marriages. There's a biblical mandate for us to enjoy the life that God has given us and for us to just take joy in the gifts He's given us in our lives. And there's a couple of things that we've got to acknowledge right from the start. Joy is something that God wants for us to experience together in our marriage, right? But here's the other thing, that your spouse is a gift that God has given you. It's a precious treasure that God has given you, your spouse. That's what they are. And one thing that happens sometimes is our marriages, we just forget that simple truth, that we've been given a precious gift in this other person that God has brought into our lives. And so maybe this morning, you need that reminder right off the bat, okay? Enjoy life with the one that God has given you. We've been talking about how our marriages serve a kingdom purpose. We've been talking about how we have a calling together in our marriage, about how there are purposes and plans that we're supposed to achieve in our marriage. But if we're careful, though, if we're careful, we can focus on all of the things that we're working to achieve in our marriage, and we can reduce it to a business relationship. Two people coming together to do some important stuff, you know, raise a couple of kids, you know, provide a certain standard of living, accomplish certain things for the kingdom of God, and we lose intimacy with one another. Without fun, y'all, without romance, without sex, then our marriage can feel a lot like a business partnership. And we're working together to just do certain things in our marriage, provide certain things for our family. And I just want you to know, that's not ever what God intended this thing to be. Remember, He put Adam to sleep. He took two of Adam's ribs out of him, and he made Eve, right? because he felt like it was good for Adam to not be alone. And Adam celebrated, rejoiced before the Lord. This is bone of my bone. This is flesh of my flesh. We're supposed to enjoy each other. We're supposed to be connected to one another in real and in meaningful ways. Listen, I don't have to tell you this, right? No one falls in love with somebody while having a really bad and boring time, right? I mean, if you go on a date with somebody and it's super boring, you don't go on a second one usually, right? Sometimes you try to give a person the benefit of the doubt because they're really nice, and you might do two or three, but if it continues to be boring, if it continues to be bad, you're like, and peace out, right? There was a day with your spouse whenever you were hanging out with them and you loved being around them. In fact, you would rearrange things in your life so that you could be around them. And so that's the point that the Lord wants us to return to in our marriages. We fall in love because we connect with one another. We enjoy one another's company. That's why we fall in love. And listen, fun is not a luxury in marriage. If we don't have time for fun in our marriage, if we don't make time for fun in our marriage, we might not have a marriage. And so it's important that we prioritize these things, okay? All right, so come with me. We're going to talk about three types of fun that every married couple needs to experience in their marriage this morning. There's a lot of implication here, too, for those of us who are not married, who are single. Some good things for you to think about what God might want you to look for in a spouse if you want to be married one day, and some good things for us to know just in our relationships. But here's the first one. The first one is face-to-face. In our marriages, we need to experience some face-to-face time, some face-to-face fun. And here's the thing. Most communication that we have, if we're not careful in our marriage, it's about our schedule, right? It's about, well, we got to get the kids to this place, and we've got to make it to this meeting, and we've got this thing with these friends. And if we're not careful, like, all of our communication can just be about these things that we have to do. It's not personal. It's not spiritual. It's not about the future. And here, you know you have a problem, right? I knew as a pastor, I knew that there was a problem in my marriage whenever my wife was finding things about what was going on in my heart when I was preaching a sermon on Sunday morning, right? It's because I hadn't prioritized time with her to be face-to-face with her, to talk with her about important things. And a lot of times that happens in our marriage. We're not making time for face-to-face. Let me just say, the first date that Amy and I went on, it was to the Coleman Coldwater Cattle Company, all right? I haven't done a lot of things right, but this thing I did right, our first date. We had to drive 30 miles to Coleman, Texas to eat at this place. I wanted to eat there because it was my favorite place to eat, and when I thought about taking somebody to the nicest possible place, it was the Coleman Coldwater Cattle Company. We ate steak. That's what I wanted to do. So we drove 30 miles there. We hung out for like an hour and a half in the restaurant, eating, hanging out, talking, laughing. We drove 30 miles back. And by the time we got back, I was like, I don't know if that's the person that I'm going to marry, but it's someone a lot like her, okay? I was blown away. But what was awesome about it is we'd spent this time. We had prioritized this time where we were just hanging out together. We were just talking together. We drove down, listened to the music. Was it Mr. Big? I'm not commending our choice in music, okay? But we listened to music all the way down there. We laughed, we talked around the table that night, and we laughed and talked all the way back. It was awesome. We connected face to face. And look, watching television, driving your kids to the next thing, right? Hanging out with your spouse while both of you are playing a game on your phone. That's not face-to-face. Do you guys know what fubbing is? Do you know this? Fubbing? It means you're snubbing someone with your phone. It means they're trying to talk to you, and you're like, you know what I mean? And we're laughing about it. You know why we're laughing? Because you've had that happen to you just this past week. If you have teenagers, you know all about fubbing, right? They're doing it all the time, right? But we do it in our marriages, too. We'll hang out together. We'll be supposed to be spending time together. And before we know it, we're looking down at our phones, and we're answering emails, and we're texting people, and we're playing Wordle or whatever it is, right? Instead of face-to-face. And guys, that's not what the Lord wants for you. The Lord put you together in your marriage with your spouse because he wants for you to connect with each other. He wants for you to have joy together. And the joy comes from connection. It comes from being together. Listen to this. Here it comes. Song of Solomon, chapter 7. Get ready. Okay? Strap it on. Here it is. It says, your neck is as beautiful as an ivory tower. Your eyes are like the sparkling pools in Heshbon by the gate of Bath Rabim. Your nose is as fine as the Tower of Lebanon overlooking Damascus. Your head is as majestic as Mount Carmel, and the sheen of it, of your hair, radiates royalty. The king is captivated by its tresses. Oh, how beautiful you are. How pleasing, my love. How full of delights. When I was in seminary, actually, we made a drawing of what this person would look like if you took it all literally. It was amazing. Your nose is like a tower. I mean, I just got it. It was unbelievable. Okay, so fun, right? But here's the deal. In this passage of Scripture, there are all these super specific details, all these super specific compliments that the king is giving to this woman that he's fallen in love with. He's telling her these specific things. Now, here's the thing. What we don't need for someone to say to us, man, you are a total smoke show, okay? I already know that, right? I don't need for you to tell me that, right? And sometimes, God, sometimes some of you are out there, well, I would take that. I mean, really anything, any kind of positive compliment would be nice, right? But here's the thing. What we need is for our spouse to notice things about us, to appreciate things about us, to tell us the things that we love about one another. I love your sense of humor. I love your smile. I love the way you tell those jokes, right? I love the way you care about other people. I love the way you pour yourself into the lives of other people. I don't know what it is. And how about let's get real specific. How about, I love the way you look in those clothes, right? That's a nice thing to say to someone that you care about. I love your hair. I love the shape of your face. I love your eyes. What if we did that in our marriage? Now look, guys, I'm talking to you because ladies are good at this. Ladies do this all the time, even with each other. They're like, girl, you look good in those jeans. You know, they say that kind of stuff. But we don't ever say that to each other. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if Sandy would have walked in here this morning and saw me, and Sandy would be like, oh, Brad, you were working those jeans today, right? I'd be like, Sandy, back up, right? Guys, don't talk like that. We don't do that for one another. But in our marriages, friends, it is super important that we communicate with one another what really matters. Here's why. Here's why. No one wants for the sum of their value to be their function. Nobody wants that. Guys, if you're at work, and the only time that your boss ever interacts with you is to talk about how you're doing in your job, if you don't matter at all to your boss or anybody at your work except for how you're performing your role at the company, like, that's demotivating. I mean, eventually you're like, man, this place is grinding me up. We all want for people that we work with to care about us as a person, to want to be interested in what we love and what we're excited about. We want to be noticed at our job for things other than our job performance. And it's the same way in our marriages. Ladies, if the sum of your expression to your husband is like, well, he's such a good provider, thank you for taking care of us, that's his function. He wants to know from you what you love about him, what you appreciate about his personality, about who he is. And guys, it's great for you to acknowledge what a wonderful mom your wife is. That's great. But she's not your mom. She needs for you to acknowledge things about her that are beyond her function in the house. It's good to say, I appreciate how you take care of everything, how you get us all from one place to another. I appreciate all that. It's good to appreciate that, but that better not be the sum of what you're saying to her. Face to face, man. We've got to communicate with one another what's precious, what's valuable. Compliment your spouse and be specific. Be specific about your compliments. Tell your spouse what you love about them. Once again, guys, I am not the standard for this, okay? I am not an expert at this at all, okay? One time, you know what I did? The Lord was convicting me because I wasn't communicating with Amy about how precious she was to me. The Lord convicted me, and so what I did was I made a bunch of notes. I don't even remember how many, somewhere between 50 and 100 little notes. And on each one of these little notes, I wrote something that I loved about Amy, okay? And then whenever she was gone, I went all over the house and I hid them places. Like I put them in the pockets of her favorite jeans and in coats that she wouldn't wear for 6 months. And I put them like down in the cereal box and in the chip bag and like all these different places. So that like for several months, Amy kept finding these little notes that said how much, what I loved about her, an individual specific thing that I loved about her. And look, I think that Amy really appreciated that. I really do. I think that was meaningful for her. But you know what it was meaningful for? Me. I realized as I was doing that, I felt so convicted that I don't talk like this to my wife. I don't tell her these things all the time, and she needs to hear them from me. And so does your spouse. Face to face. Face to face matters. You know what else matters? Side to side. Check out the book of Ruth, chapter 3, verse 1. One day, Naomi said to Ruth, "My daughter, it's time I found a permanent home for you so that you'll be provided for. Boaz is a close relative of ours, and he's been very kind by letting you gather grain with his young women. Tonight he'll be winnowing barley at the threshing floor. Now do as I tell you. Take a bath, put on some perfume, dress in your nicest clothes, then go to the threshing floor. But don't let Boaz see you until he's finished eating and drinking. Be sure to notice where he lies down. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down there. He will tell you what to do." Guys, there's a whole lot of stuff going on in this passage, and I don't have time to get into all of it. But what I want to talk to you about this morning is that the threshing floor. So the end of harvest in ancient Israel was an amazing time. It was a celebratory time. They would bring all of their wheat to a place, the threshing floor, and the whole community shared the threshing floor. The threshing floor usually on a high place, you know, outside of the village. And they would beat the wheat so that the chaff would float up into the air and be blown away by the wind. And all that would be left would be the grain, right? And so all the guys, this was bro time. All the guys are hanging out and they're doing the threshing and they're spending time together and they're celebrating. They're laughing, talking, joking around, right? And Naomi's wise. Naomi tells Ruth, "Look, Ruth, step into Boaz's world. This is his world. This is what he does. It's how he makes a living, right? This is his thing. Step into his world." And I just want to say that for guys, look, this is really important, right? We love it. We love it whenever people we love step into our world. Look, people talk all the time about mansplaining, okay? I get it. We can be patronizing sometimes. I'm being real with you. But do you know why men mansplain things? They mansplain things because they love to talk about the things that matter to them. There's a reason why your husband, and I'm not being specific here, there's a reason why your husband can't shut up about what the Cowboys are running on offense on Sunday. There's a reason why. It's because he loves it, and he will mansplain to you about the Cowboys, right? He'll mansplain to you about his motorcycle. He'll mansplain to you about, you know, whatever it is, right? He loves to talk about it, right? And so he doesn't always mean to come across as if he's patronizing you, right? As if he's looking down on you. Sometimes he does. It's an accident, okay? We just love to talk about the things that we really enjoy doing. And so when somebody comes along side by side with us and works with us, man, that means a lot. Men have a hard time opening up. We're not good at it, right? You know when we do? We usually open up when we're in the middle of doing things, something that we love. My friend Dennis Hester, when he was a pastor, he had more counseling appointments with men on the golf course than he ever did in his office. When he knew there was a guy in the church that was struggling with something, he'd be like, "Hey, what are you doing on Thursday? You want to go play golf?" They'd be like, "Yeah." They'd be out there playing golf, and this person would be sharing their whole life story with them. Men open up when they're doing something, right? When they're engaged and involved in something. This Sunday, I don't know if you noticed, but out here in front of the church, it looks amazing out there. We had a group of folks come up here to the church and have a work day, and Lindell Trout and Doug Choate organized that whole thing. We were out here working so hard. I can't tell you how many awesome conversations I have with guys while we're pulling rocks out of a wheelbarrow and throwing them into the flower bed. That's how men operate. That's how we work. And look, it's true for everybody. Everybody loves it when somebody takes an interest in something that's really important to them. Everybody loves that. And so when we find things that we can do together, we think about our spouse. What are they interested in? What do they love to do? How can I be a part of that, right? So I don't know what that looks like for you, but as a couple, find things you love to do together. Maybe it's play golf. Maybe it's play pickleball, you know. Maybe it's running. I don't know, weird. There are weird people, I guess, that like that. But some people like to run together, right? Do whatever it is, do things together. And be involved in hobbies and habits together. And here's what's even more important. Enter the world of your spouse. Enter the world, man. Ladies, go, you know, look, go help your husband work on the motorcycle. All you got to do is just sit there and hand him tools. He loves it, okay? Hang out with your husband. Go axe throwing. I'm just throwing things out there. I don't know. Go to the game. Sit by your husband during the Cowboys game. Let him mansplain it to you, okay? We love that. We do. And ladies, look, guys, look, get a pedicure, for crying out loud. Go and get a pedicure. Is it going to kill you to have someone work on your toes? No. It might do irrevocable damage to the people doing the pedicure, but you are not going to be hurt. Hang out with your wife. Man, ladies love that. Ladies love it when they're getting their nails done and they're talking to each other. If that's what it takes to spend some time side to side with your wife, a little fingernail polish is not going to kill you. Do it, right? Spend time with one another side by side, engaged in activities. And we also talked about last week about serving selflessly. Man, do that. Find a place to serve someone. Find a place to help someone. Have a ministry that you're doing together. Listen, I went not this past summer, but the summer before, with a group of folks to Puerto Rico on a mission trip. We were actually repairing the roofs on houses that had been destroyed by a hurricane. And so we were repairing all these houses. It was an amazing time. You know what my favorite part of it was? There were a couple of families that went. My favorite part of that whole trip was watching these married couples do something amazing together. It was awesome to watch just the joy and the pleasure that they got from hanging out together for a week and serving together. It was a beautiful thing to see. Do that. Do it with your spouse. Find opportunities for that. So you got to have face-to-face fun. You got to have side-to-side fun. And friends, I looked for a billion different ways to say this, and there's no unawkward way to say it. But you got to have some body-to-body fun. Okay? Look at Song of Solomon, chapter 7. Here's where you do it. Here's where you cover the ears. Okay? Here's what it says. It says, "Come, my lover, let's go to the countryside. Let us spend the night in the villages. Let's go early to the vineyards to see if the vines have budded, if their blossoms have opened, and if the pomegranates are in bloom. There, I will give you my love." Now, there are a lot of passages in Scripture that we should just read and follow literally. I want to suggest that if you try to do that with this one, be very careful, okay? There are decency laws in the state of Texas, and I just don't want anybody to get in trouble. Okay, don't tell the police officer our pastor told us to do this. Okay, don't do that. But look, don't you find it interesting though that there is an entire book of the Bible that is devoted to sexual intimacy? Don't you find that interesting? Why? Because it matters. Because it's important, friends. There's no way around the fact that sexual intimacy is an important part of our relationships together as a married couple. And for those of you who aren't married, you need to understand that's an important and a sacred part of what it means to be married. And when we misuse that gift, when we use it in ways that it's not meant to be used, it has deadly consequences. Proverbs 5:18 says, "Let your wife be a fountain of blessing for you. Rejoice in the wife of your youth." And learning, guys, to express this desire to one another, it's super important. Understanding our spouse as a blessing to us, rejoicing in one another, delighting in one another. That's a beautiful and important part of our marriage, and we've got to protect it. We've got to make sure that we're engaging in that together, that we're letting each other know how important we are to each other. We got to prioritize it, man. Set a date. Nice dinner, nice candles. I don't know. For us, it was, when Carson was young, it was, you know, Dora the Explorer. We've got 30 minutes. Door is on, right? Whatever it takes, right? Whatever it takes, but make it important. Make it matter. Listen, if we're not careful, we get caught up in all the stuff of our lives. We get caught up in all the stuff of our lives, and we're so busy accomplishing everything that we are not taking the time. We are not carving out the time to spend with one another in that way. And guys, when we do, there's so much that's beautiful about it. We're making ourselves vulnerable to someone else. We're allowing someone close to be close to us in a way that no one else is allowed. And it's a precious and a beautiful thing. And when we don't prioritize that, if we let it slip away, we will pay a price. We pay a price for it. Most marriages, men would like to have more sex. That's just the reality of the situation. And a lot of marriages too, women don't understand how painful it is when that's not happening. It's as emotionally painful as your husband giving you the silent treatment. It matters. It matters. And the only way it happens is if we pay attention, if we focus, and if we prioritize it in our relationships. Spend time, make a plan. For husbands, wives, you need to understand this is important to him. It's important for both of you, but it's important to him. You're his only legitimate means of fulfillment in this part of his life. For guys, look, spend time, make a plan. Let your wife see how much thought you put into spending time with her. That matters. Also, remember last week we talked about how people want to feel seen. They want to feel understood. Well, look, wives are juggling a million different things sometimes. They got work schedules, kids' schedules, meal planning, making sure everyone has what they need, taking care of stuff around the house. They've got a billion things going on in their head. And look, sometimes the most attractive thing you can do is to take something off of your wife's plate. I'm just being real with you. Find something that she's going to have to do and do it for her without her asking. Sometimes when you do that, what you're saying to your spouse is, I see you. I see you. I appreciate you. I value you. If you're not meeting an unspoken need, if they have to say it. And guys, I'm terrible at this. I'm working so hard to be better at this. But I've got to notice. I've got to notice what's going on in Amy's life. And I've got to move to meet her needs before she expresses them to me. Because when I do, I say, you are on my heart. I know what you like. I know what you need. You matter to me. I do for you what I don't do for anyone else. Don't you believe your spouse needs to have that communicated to them from you? Don't you believe that? We've got to pay attention, and we have to work at it. That's the great thing about being married, is that we're always learning and we're always growing together as a couple. Somebody here this morning is going to say this. You're going to say, look, Brad, I don't feel anything right now for my spouse. And I want to say to you, listen, I get it, I understand, but you know what? Feelings follow actions. And sometimes if we commit to spend time with one another, to reconnect with one another, the feelings part begins to happen. You know what phrase I hate? I hate this phrase, the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. Have you heard this phrase? The grass is greener. Listen, if you live next door to someone and their grass is greener, do you know why? It's because they water their grass. That's why. If your grass is brown and dead, it's because you're not taking care of your grass, right? They live in the same town you do. They live in the same environmental conditions that you do. The grass is greener because they take care of the grass. If you want to, you can move next door into your neighbor's house. You can move into their house. You know what you'll do? You'll kill their grass too. Take care of your grass. Water your own grass. Right? That's an important thing for you and I to understand, right? Our marriages are what we desire for them to be. When we pour ourselves into them, when we give selflessly to our spouse in our marriage, we pay attention, we sow into them, we love them selflessly, right? What happens is that relationship begins to grow. It begins to build. And no, it's not going to, look, you don't snap your fingers one day and go from having a really difficult, painful, maybe even toxic marriage to having a beautiful, life-giving marriage. It doesn't happen overnight, but it can happen, and it will happen if we will seek God together, and we'll serve one another, and we'll love one another, and connect with one another. We'll commit to that. I'm telling you, the health will follow. It will. And I want to encourage you in that today. So what does that look like for you and I? What should we do? How about ask your spouse, what are some things that we enjoy doing together, right? Ask your spouse, what do you most enjoy about me? What is it about me that you love? And let me tell you the things about you that I love the most. What kinds of things do you guys do when you plan a date? Do you plan dates? Or do you just kind of wait for them to accidentally happen, right? That we get into that trap. How do you make sure that you're spending time with each other regularly? How about this? Ask your spouse this. What are some things that I do that make you feel treasured and loved? What are some things that I do that communicate that to you? And then ask your, you know, then tell your spouse, here are some things that you do, and when you do them, it makes me feel treasured. It makes me feel loved. I'm telling you, if we listen to each other, if we ask and we listen and we start talking, God's healing can begin to flow in our marriages. And for some of us, the reason why we are where we are is because we've just stopped talking. We've stopped connecting with each other. We've stopped asking these kinds of questions. Don't stop. It's too important. Your spouse needs you desperately. Even if they feel distant, even if they feel alienated from you, even if you feel like they're pulling away from you right now, they need you. They need you. And if they lose you in their life, it will leave a hole that can never be filled. It will leave a scar that will never heal completely. And you need your spouse. They are God's precious gift to you. He gave them to you because he loves you. And you don't take a precious, beautiful, amazing gift that's been given to you by the Lord and set it down by the side of the road and leave it there. We don't do that. A beautiful, precious gift from the Lord. We're grateful for it. We're thankful for it. We pour into it all the time. That's what it means to be married. Look, I'm not an expert. I blow it all the time. I'm working as hard as I can to be the husband that Amy deserves, and I'm a long way from it. But together, we can encourage one another in this. And we can be this for one another together. It matters. The stakes are really high. Failure is not an option. Let me pray for us. The band's going to come up. We're going to have another song of worship. But I just want for us to spend this time asking the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Maybe there's some ways that some things that we're doing where we're not appreciating people in our lives that are a gift to us. Maybe there's some things we need to repent for this morning. We need to come before the Lord and just confess them to him today. But let's pray and let's ask the Lord to deal with us this morning. God, we love you. We need you, Lord God. Would you please, in this moment, would you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, would you speak to us? Would you move in us? Would you show us those places where we are broken, where we're wounded, where we need to be drawn back closer to you, where we need a touch from you, where we need your healing? And I pray right now for marriages. I pray right now for marriages where it feels like the struggle is just so painful and so real. It feels like there's no way forward. It feels like there's no hope. We need to understand this morning that we are praying to the God who spoke the cosmos into being. And Lord, your arm is not too short. There is no marriage in this room that is beyond your ability to heal. And so this morning, what you're asking is that we would surrender to you. If we would surrender to you, God, you could begin to heal us. And we need you. We need you this morning. Please, God, speak to us. Move in us. Touch us, God. Heal us. It's in Jesus' name we pray.